everybody, welcome back to the Fin Factor. I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
This is episode number 205. Aaron, we had a week of three games of hockey. We've seen this before. We've had one, we've had four. This one, kind of a nice, not even odd number, but still, having three games in a week, definitely a good dose of hockey, not too little, not too much, especially with the Sharks playing the way they have been. There is it too much of a good thing.
Is it too much Sharks hockey this week with three games?
Not this week for sure, but certainly if you're an avid Sharks fan and you're watching four games in a week and you're just getting pounded every single time, could be a little bit too much for most. For me, not a problem. I'm enjoying watching the Sharks play. They've, for me, done a pretty decent job in most of these games. In moments, we'll say, right? In moments.
Right, yeah.
They kind of been having a bit of a trend of starting off okay, which is weird for the Sharks this season. Normally, they start off getting completely outshot. Right. And recently they've kind of hung with them until about the second, third period, halfway through or so.
Mind you, these teams were at the bottom along with them.
Sure.
Not all of them, but actually even Pittsburgh were down there pretty far. So I would hope that they would not be dominated by these three teams this week.
There's a stat that would say otherwise that I will be bringing up a little bit later on. But while we get ourselves ready to start the show, we're going to kick this off with asking you guys to help us out. If you have any Sharks friends and family that you think might enjoy the stream as well, please feel free to repost, retweet, reshare, everything. Get it out there to those folks. Get them in here. Get them chatting with us and you. It's a lot more fun. We got a lot of people kind of bouncing ideas off of each other and whatnot. So do appreciate that. Also, if you'd like to support the show, you can do that with the Super Chat function. If you've got a comment that you want to put out there, we can read it live on the air. You can do that through Super Chat or at Venmo. The Fin Factor at the Fin Factor on Venmo. Sorry.
Nice.
I know. Recover.
Smooth.
Good stuff. you can also support the show and get something in return by going to thefinfactor.com and you can check out any of the merch that we have there for sale. Hats, shirts, water bottles, sweatshirts, hoodies, that kind of stuff. So I won't make anything up this week. Anyway, so you can go there and get something in return for your support. Do appreciate you guys doing that. So Aaron, now that we've kind of got that out there and we're ready to start the show, we're going to start off with just the games that happened this week, as we usually do. So the first one here was interesting for me because it was kind of, you know, we played Erik Karlsson as a Pittsburgh Penguin before, but it was just kind of interesting to see them going up against him again because the Pittsburgh Penguins are not a very good team this season. So seeing him playing alongside Crosby and Malkin, but still maybe having a chance was kind of exciting.
Did you want the win, though?
No, of course not. No, I want us to be right there and then not get the win.
Yeah, so. It's always interesting to see Karlsson, who's been in Teal for so many years, and then playing against him. It is kind of weird, but do you miss him?
I don't want to say that I miss him necessarily, because I don't really, I can't say that I do miss him. Now, would I love for him to be on the team while the Sharks are competitive? Absolutely. There's no denying this skill. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people hated on him. A lot of people hated the contract. Fine. No worries there. But for a guy to do what he did the season prior, where he got 100 points with a team that had no business even thinking about being competitive, let alone having a player on that roster to get 100 points, that to me was just incredible. And it's a testament to his skill and his worth to any team out there in the league. And I certainly did think that he was going to be a very big boon for the Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, even Letang. But I guess same thing that we saw in San Jose. When you've got two star defensemen, it doesn't always work
out. Both right-handed shots, too.
Absolutely.
It's not like one's lefty. If he was, if Letang was lefty, I think it would have worked out better just because they could have put both of them on the points. You know, I don't know. Whatever.
I want to read this one out here. I might be mispronouncing it. Gun or Goon? This show is the one reason I look forward to Mondays. Thank you, guys. Hey, thank you for the comment. Do appreciate that. It certainly makes us feel good, you know, because in a season where there's nothing to talk about and we're just kind of spinning our wheels doing this show, it's comments like that that help keep us going. So
we also have the longest shows that we've ever done in a season.
Get it. There's nothing to talk about, and yet we're here for 2 hours straight. Sorry, Super Producer Jason. It just is what it is.
Cut to credits.
We talk too much. Speaking of talking too much, we're still in the first game. Aaron, Pittsburgh, this one here, we were doing okay until we weren't. Right, and that's kind of the story of this week.
Or season.
Well, no, this season's been bad, bad, bad. But in this week, at least, We were in the games until we weren't. And for this one, it was a 3-3 tie going into the third, and it took a little while getting into the third period before things got going.
It was an exciting game.
Yeah.
Like Sharks fans or Pittsburgh fans. Pittsburgh's not having a good season, and I would say they're having a worse season than the Sharks because they have so much star power, and the Sharks have practically none at this point. Yeah. Their all-star was Tomas Hertl, not even on the team anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's really... Maybe Granlund, that's a whole other argument. But anyway, no star power on the Sharks, and they kind of, expectations where they were going to be worse in the league. Here we are. Pittsburgh was supposed to be kind of their last hurrah, making a playoff push, maybe even being a cup contender, especially with the Carlson move, and they're not even going to be close to the playoffs. So, disaster season for them. Anyway, they score one, Sharks score two, they score two, we score one. Like, going into the third period, it was an exciting, that's an exciting hockey game, regardless of where you were on the standing. So, the Sharks held in there and gave it their best effort, but just not enough. Now, one player I did want to point out is the new acquisition, Klim Kostin.
Mr. Klim. Yes.
Nice. He's a big boy.
He's a big boy, 6'4".
Yeah.
What is that? Wait. We said, I think you had brought up he was 212, and I said he was 230 something.
Yeah.
He's actually 230 something.
Yeah.
He's
I think the thing that I was looking at was older information.
Yes.
So that might have been when he was drafted, actually, not when he was. Yeah. So he's gotten a lot bigger. He's a big boy. He skates fast.
Yeah. No. He does not skate fast.
Oh, sorry. He doesn't skate fast.
No. He is heavy.
Hits hard. But he's got skill.
Yes.
He has. I don't want to say he's got a lot of skill, but he has, for his size, he's got some good skill. And, this week alone, in these five games, his last five games, 2 goals and 2 assists, that's, for a terrible team, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, the one goal he got, I think that's in the next game. I think that was a Columbus game. But, anyway, he scores in this game. Oh, no, it was this game. Granlund floats it over on a stick from behind the net.
Yeah.
Granlund did most of the work here, but... He did finish it very well.
You got to be there.
Yeah.
And you got to bury it. You got to finish. Just like you said. And this shot was basically right outside the paint, mm-hmm. right by the crease. And he just kind of like took a knee when he shot it. And it just goes, from ice level to, top shelf. Just a great shot. And again, like you said, Granlund doing all the work there behind the net, making sure that he's drawing attention. And I don't know if you noticed it, guys, but when Granlund made that pass, it wasn't just straight across. It was a nice little tiny sauce. It jumped off the ice just a little bit and landed perfectly on Kostin's stick. And he just puts it up top and roofs it.
Yeah. I'm excited to see if this guy is going to stick and maybe get re-signed by the Sharks. I believe he is an RFA after this season. He's got another year. Sorry, I take that back. So okay. He's got one more year. But he's young. He's only 24. This guy could possibly be kind of like Cunning, where he's on the power play, just being garbage man, screening the goalies a lot because he's bigger than Cunning. And so maybe that could be his potential. Maybe third line guy / power play specialist, where he just screens and buries the garbage. But he does have some skill for being such a big boy, so that's kind of cool, and I'm excited to see him, and glad to see him get on the scoreboard.
Yeah, absolutely. So another guy gets on the scoreboard, and somebody who we're going to say his name a couple times in the mm-hmm. show, Zetterlund. Zetterlund puts another one in. How many is he up to on the season so far? We're going to talk about another goal he has.
Well, he scores again, but this was his 17th goal on the season.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, he leads the team now in goals.
Yes.
Does he not?
Okay. Because Hurdle was leading, and then...
Bye-bye.
Obviously, isn't it? Yeah. I did pull up what's cool is on Hockey Database, it shows you everyone who has played at least one game, regardless if they're on the roster still or not. And let's take a look here. Duclair was at 16 goals, and Hurdle was at 15 when he left. So he now takes the lead he scores again the next game. So he has 18 goals to lead the Sharks, regardless if they're still on the team or not. So a fabulous season for Fabian, if you will. He's become one of my favorite players, and kind of surprised me because he really didn't play very well when he came over at the trade deadline last year when the Timo Meier trade went down. So I really wasn't expecting a whole lot out of this guy. I was like, oh man, maybe he's just a fourth line kind of banger guy that has a lot of energy but doesn't really have the skill, kind of like Torrey Mitchell 2.0. So I'm excited to see him leading the Sharks and scoring, not just doing well, but being a leader on this team.
Yeah, it seems like, again, for me, he's looked like just a gigantic human being. Again, not the fastest skater on the team by a long shot, but once he gets the legs going, it's kind of like a locomotive, mm-hmm. right? So, again, maybe apart from the speed, seems like the type of guy that Mike Greer is more than happy to have on the team, these blue-collar type players, somebody who's going to be hard to move in front of the net, that kind of thing. So I could definitely see them putting him on the power play, as Aaron suggested. So yeah, it's a player that, you know, is, it could be exciting to see where he goes from here with the Sharks. He does have, like you said, one more year, so we'll get to see him again next season, mm-hmm. after he's kind of acclimated himself to the system and to new teammates, right? So, you know, potentially all good things with this guy. What do you think about getting him in the trade? Do you like the trade a little bit more now, seeing that he's been productive?
Well, reading about it, apparently he wanted to get out of Detroit, so yeah. He was the one that actually initiated the trade. I mean, we traded
Shimmick
in a 7th rounder. Yeah. That Shimmick wasn't going to be playing on the Sharks ever Absolutely. Again, and he was going to be a free agent. So they basically traded a 7th rounder for this guy, and I think he's well worth it. Former 1st round pick. So he's got some skill, and he's definitely got, you can't teach size.
Yeah.
The guy's enormous. So, I'm very happy with this trade and a potential future piece of the next core group of guys coming in here.
Whether drafted with a 7th or you trade your 7th to get a player, if they're even on the NHL roster, I'd consider that a win.
Would you draft this guy in the 7th round?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even though he hasn't really panned out as a 1st rounder?
Sure.
Yeah. Maybe he's a 2nd rounder, a 3rd rounder. Like, still totally worth it.
So just another good pickup, I think, by Mike Greer. I know a lot of people have been hating on Greer for whatever reason, but because it's the interwebs.
Yeah. Everyone has an opinion.
But, you know, again, for the price and what you're hoping to accomplish this season and maybe next, absolutely, it's a great pickup by Greer. So that game, unless you had something else to say.
Just Peter St. John saying, yeah. Thomas Holmstrom.
Yes,
I grew up that guy, but he developed into the best goalie fronter. He became a power play specialist who could score in the close with the deflections and whatnot.
Yeah,
he was amazing. Holmstrom was amazing. I don't know. I don't want to say he's going to be that, but potential, absolutely. Yeah.
So the in the spirit of doing well, but then just kind of letting it all fall apart as the game goes on. the Sharks again were tied 3-3 here. They were down 5-3 and then got an empty net goal. So as you said, they were pretty much in the game the whole time. Really, only down by 2 at any point in the game. It was late in the game, mm-hmm. which might be indicative of there's a lot of young guys on that team. They're not quite used to the NHL schedule. Right. Even if they've been there for a year or two, like some of the younger guys who have had some NHL experience, to do it years in a row might still be kind of tough. They have to get that conditioning to be at the point where they can handle that. So
they usually say it's about roughly 4 seasons before you're really seasoned in the NHL, where assuming you're playing all 82 games or close to it, that your body gets used to it and your mind gets used to it, because it's really... A lot of it is mental, not so much physical. Yeah, there is physical toll on your body, but mentally you have to be able to shake off a bad night and go out there again sometimes the next night. Back. Yeah. So it takes a lot, and most of these guys have, you know...
They're kids to us, buddy. Yeah. They're all kids to us.
40 to 60 games is what they're normally used to playing at most. And so and the NHL's 82 plus playoffs, if you get to playoffs, so it's even more.
Yeah.
So it really takes a toll mentally and physically on them.
Moving on from this game, we go to Columbus, play against the Blue Jackets here. And again, we're going to bring up the name again. Zetterlin scores again. So mm-hmm. now he's up to 18, which is where we're at now, correct? Yeah. 18 goals. Mm-hmm. So Zetterlin having a heck of a season. You know, a guy that we didn't really think was going to be as impactful as he has been so far with his team. Now, maybe once we fill out the roster with higher skill players and in a couple of years, even if he resigns and stays with the Sharks, and we've got some of the other young core guys playing, maybe he doesn't have the season that he's having as he's getting pushed a little bit down the lineup. I don't know. But for right now, he's absolutely killing it in the trade for Zetterlund, mm-hmm. even giving up Timo Meier. It's certainly looking even better. Now, you're of the mind that he's going to get to 20 goals. I think you're absolutely right. He's got, what, 15 games left?
Yeah.
With 15 games left, I'd be shocked if he doesn't get another 2. Mm-hmm. So do you think 25 is where he'll end
up? That's what I'm like. Do you think he's going to push to 30?
Ooh.
That's 12 games in the next... No, that's too much.
That's a lot, yeah.
But he's at 32 points. I think he can push it to 40, maybe close to 50 points, 45 points. He doesn't get as many assists, but
maybe 25 goals, 45-ish points.
That's where I'm at 25 goals, 40 points, I think is where I'm going to end up.
I think that's doable. 8 more points.
Yeah.
And 2 more goals. Yeah, I think that's attainable for him. There's no one else to score goals, so he's it. Granlund's more of the assist maker.
Yeah,
he's more of the playmaker, so yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so then Thrun gets his second goal of the season here as well. Grand Admiral Thrun, as we call him on the show. He also made kind of a ugly play.
Yes.
It's unfortunate, right? And this was actually in the next game. I think it was the Chicago game. Yeah. So we'll get to that in a second. But positives, all good things on this game for him. He gets his second goal of the season. Pretty nice. Again, he's we originally got him from the Ducks, correct?
Correct.
Right. So the pickup there, I still like it. I think a lot of folks maybe aren't as high on Thrun as I kind of was when we first got him. And even I'm kind of like, maybe he's not really NHL material, but we're just kind of playing him because he's of the six that we're going to dress. Maybe he's up in the top there.
I think he's NHL material. I think he's going to be maybe a bottom pairing guy. At best, he'd be a top four. I don't think he's gonna be a top pairing guy. He doesn't have that potential, but I could see him being bottom pairing guy, kind of a two-way defenseman, responsible in his own end, and but also has the ability to move the puck and play a little bit. He's not gonna be Erik Karlsson or anything, but he'll be able to hold his own and make the correct plays and passes and stuff.
Which could be very promising when you consider that we've got other guys in the pipeline that are kind of have the same sort of scouting report, like Mook Madulin, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. A good two-way player, makes a good first pass, right? And some other guys that are hopefully going to be coming through the system. Who we just traded for, Thompson. I forget the first name, but the last name was Thompson. We just traded for him from the Lightning. Right. So getting him in there again, Jack Thompson. So having him in the mix as well, there's a lot of young blue liners on this team. And, even if not all of them make the roster eventually, because we'll be getting, some free agents or making some trades and that kind of thing. And guys will just, kind of age. Right. So we'll have some more veteran presence on the blue line eventually. But if even some of these guys make the roster, it's a good gamble to have quite a few lined up in their youth, ready to go for that competition for those spots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
you're doing great.
All right. So the only other thing I think to talk about in this game really was that there was a fan of the show, avid fan of the show, who happened to be at this game. Now he doesn't know we're doing this, but
I don't even think he's on right now.
He might not be on. Yeah. So Nick HBK 150 was at the Columbus game. Sent us a picture. There he is. There's Big Nick. This is a you talk about Klim Kostin being a big human being.
He is.
I think Nick dwarfs him because Nick is probably about 18 feet tall.
Yeah,
I'm just guessing because I've stood next to him before and I hurt my neck.
Yes.
I had to look straight up. he's a big dude. So there's Big Nick. He's at the Columbus Blue Jackets game. I don't know what the arena's called.
The new Finn jersey, which is really sharp looking.
Cali Finn jersey. Yeah. Looks
good on him. Looks small on him because the patch is the same size as everyone else's. But
true story, that's the triple XL version of that jersey. I'm telling you, Nick is massive. He's a big dude. I would like him, if I ever get in a fight, okay, I would ask for Nick.
He needs to be on skates.
I think he played goalie.
Beer league team. Oh, did he?
I don't know. I'm not sure. He might have played goalie. He might have played defense, but I don't know. Anyway, moving on from that, we're going to the Chicago game. Mm-hmm. The Sharks playing in Chicago. And wouldn't you know it, fan of the show, Nick, happened to also go to this game as well. Sent us a picture. There's Nick. Nick's kind of screwing us up. He went widescreen and then he went vertical on us. He probably just asked some random person to take it. He just did it, So anyway, there you go. There's Nick traveling, representing the Cali Finn jersey. Thanks, Nick, for doing that. Appreciate you. Hey, where's your Finn Factor hat, Nick?
Yeah.
We got to talk, bud.
Slightly disappointed, Nick.
Do people just come up to his knees?
I'm telling you,
look how small people are.
They're not sitting.
Those people are all standing and cheering. You can't even tell.
Was he in Game of Thrones?
Yeah, he was the mountain in Game of Thrones.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so there you go. Nick representing Sharks territory. Not the Finn Factor, unfortunately, but Sharks territory and doing a heck of a job doing it. Thank you for...
maybe our hats just don't fit as
nice. I don't think they do. They have the little extension clip things. You can make it bigger, though, right? anyway, so yeah, the Sharks in this game again, it was closer than the score indicates. Now, it was a 5-2 loss. However, Bedard is what the focus is in every single game that he plays in, right? Mm-hmm. Bedard only gets a single goal and an assist, but the only time he scored was on an empty netter, and it was 0.3 seconds left.
Yeah.
It barely went in time. And realistically, other than with 0.3 seconds left, he wasn't on the scoreboard apart from the assist.
Well, again, he's a young guy, 18, 19 years old, yeah. Not used to playing this many games, and we're now in 60-something
yep.
of the season. So you're allowed to have an off night and have a goal and assist for an off night. So
yeah.
not too bad on the score sheet, but in the game, yeah, he wasn't too, I guess, standout-ish as he normally would be. But I mean, it's kind of hard to get up to play against the Sharks, right?
Right. So, correct me if I'm wrong, the Sharks actually go up 2-0 in this game.
They do.
And then just
a Costa barrage. Gets another goal in this game
too. Oh, yeah, there you go.
But yeah, they score, they get two, and then second period is 2-1. Chicago gets one back, and then the third period just collapse. Just monumental collapse. This is kind of the MO for the Sharks. I feel like this season and even parts of last season, they would give up goals in bunches. In this case, they gave up 3 goals in less than 2 minutes. So 2 goals were actually 8 seconds apart. They were still celebrating the goal.
Yeah.
And then this is the Thrun pass he was talking about earlier, where he tried to throw it up the boards to LeBanc across the ice, and not a good pass to LeBanc. LeBanc was open. If he got it to him accurately, it would have been fine,
yeah.
normal play. But then it just comes right back, and it was kind of an awkward play that gets bounced, I think, off a defender and through his leg, through Corona's legs, like just bang, bang play and goes in the back of the net. This is like to me, it was like an AHL play, not an NHL play. And that's why it ended up in the back of the net.
Yeah, yeah. And Devin Cooley was actually in net for this game. Corona was the 2 games prior. Yeah. And I think what had happened was the Sharks scored 2. Okay. Then the Blackhawks score 1 end of the period going into the third. And I think Mike Greer said, "Hey, Devin, you know, you're looking really good. You're playing really well. I'm going to offer you a contract. How would you like to play with the San Jose Sharks next season?" And Cooley's going, "Sweet, yeah, that sounds great." And then Greer said, "Then let some goals in so that we can play. You can play with Macklin Celebrini next season, please."
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Again, I'm not an official source at all. But
this is very untrue. People think this actually happens.
It does not happen.
No.
Not at all. No. The Sharks just kind of melted in the third is really all that happened. By the way, the assist on Connor Bedard's assist was a secondary assist as well. So, there's the crying emojis. We're doing that.
He did nothing but pass it to someone else who passed it to someone who scored.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great pass to the guy who made the pass.
NHL loves their points, don't they? They
love 100%. 100%.
I'm surprised they don't have a third assist.
A tertiary assist.
There
you go.
Oh, I have that emoji.
You do? You have the tertiary assist emoji?
You can assist.
Float that one out there for us. All right, anyway, so this was his NHL debut. Now, what did you think about Devin Cooley? I know a lot of fans and actually the broadcasters as well were kind of like, "Whoa, this guy showed up."
Comments in here about him, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Read some comments off.
Now I got to find it real quick. cool. This is from Stephen Y. Cooley was impressive. Just 2 bad bounces cost him the game. 1 skate, 1 stick deflection. Hopefully it turns out to be a good pickup. We're lacking a franchise goalie. I don't know about franchise goalie.
He's lacking a goalie.
Yeah, we are lacking a franchise goalie. I just don't think Cooley would be the answer to it. Now, I think it's really cool, and it's awesome that he's from here and everything. But at 26, and this is his first NHL game, goalies do take longer. I just don't think he's going to be this hidden gem that every team has skipped over. So I don't want to get your hopes up too much. I'm not going to also say, you know, he could pan out. I mean, maybe he could be a good backup or a solid backup. I just don't know about a starter. Now, to me, a franchise goalie is Shesterkin, right? Like a goalie that's going to come in and play 50, 60 games a season and be solid in almost all of those games. It's very rare right now in the NHL these days to even have one of those. There's only maybe 3 or 4 total in the league that you can consider it like that. But I'm thinking that Greer is hoping to find that. Maybe we'll see in this draft as he starts drafting goalies. Because right now I feel like all of them that are in the system, in the pipeline, outside of Blackwood and now Vanacek, I don't think there's a future with the rest of them. Krona, maybe. But I still don't think he would be a franchise goalie.
Yeah, I don't know about franchise goalie, and frankly, I'm not looking that far ahead. I'm looking for just somebody who's solid between the pipes for their tenure. However long that is, if it's 3 years, if it's 5 years, if they're a franchise goalie and they go until they retire, whatever. But there's got to be some level of confidence between the pipes mm-hmm. for any amount of time. And right now, actually for a while, the Sharks really haven't had that. I think ever since Martin Jones, the Sharks really haven't had somebody in net that they can trust. Even Antti Niemi before that, he wasn't somebody that you could look at and go, okay, he's going to do a great job. He had a Stanley Cup. We pulled him over, and then we realized they would have won that cup with anybody in between the pipes.
It was the defense. It wasn't the goalies.
It was everything. It was about possession. It was about the defense. It was everything about the team other than the goaltender that really led them to the cup. I'm not saying Niemi did nothing, but they could have won that with pretty much any 1B goalie, I think. So for the Sharks, I'd like to see anybody emerge. And if that's Blackwood, great. If that's Vanacek, great. And even if you only had one of them, because maybe you make a trade, pull in another piece that you need, and one of these guys is just a backup, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But the Sharks haven't had really solid goaltending in a very long time. I think for me, the early days of Martin Jones, maybe, but Nabokov really was like the most solid goaltender that we ever had.
Yeah, but even Nabokov had his struggles towards the end of his career. Yep. Also in the middle, for a while, we had Kiprusoff and Toskala. You remember that?
Yep.
And they ended up trading Kiprusoff because Kiprusoff ended up being a Vezina-winning trophy, I believe, with Calgary. But at the time, when he was with San Jose, every time he would play, he was pretty much the third-string goalie, and he would get chances and just couldn't run away with it. Yeah. So no blame on the Sharks for trading him, because they were doing right at that time, doing right by Kiprusoff because they believed he belonged in the league. Yeah. He just wasn't hanging around with the Sharks or doing well. And they ended up getting a second-round pick for him that turned into Mark Edward Vlasic. That's not a terrible return.
Yeah.
But again, Nabokov kind of had his ups and downs. So yeah, he was probably the best goalie the Sharks have ever had franchise-wise. Obviously the best one that they've ever drafted. But outside of that, maybe if he won a cup, but I think he could have. There were so many good teams that were, if he had gotten hot at the right moment. I mean, we don't need to dive into the past too much, but I understand what you're saying. I'm just even Urbe is one of the better ones that the Sharks had, but he ended up, goalies come and they get hot and they get cold just as quick.
And that's what I mean by, are we looking for a franchise goalie? No, I'm not looking for a franchise. I'm looking for just somebody who's steady, right? It's just some solidify the position just a bit.
Solid.
Yeah, I'm solid. And someone saw it. Anyway, that's really all I'm looking for. Now, for me, Cooley, I'm not even trying to see if he projects for that. Just in this game alone, just the first time we saw him, he just looked a little floppy for me. Like, he was kind of desperation saving a little bit for my taste. And I don't want to knock it necessarily. I mean, he's a big dude. He's like 6'5", right?
I'm sure it's nerves, too, because it's his first NHL game.
It could be nerves, but I'm going to attribute this to, what's the one thing that every AHL player says when they play in the NHL and the guy says, hey, so what's the big difference?
Speed.
Everything is faster, right? Yeah. So I feel like he was just trying to adjust to the speed of it because everything's happening so much faster. Now you have to make those desperation saves. You have to dive because you can't push as fast as you would, as you'd be able to in the AHL or wherever else you came from, right? Which, by the way, he played for the Junior Sharks, 14U AAA or something like that. I don't know where he went from there necessarily, but when you're playing at the NHL, that speed, if you're not as fast as them when they're moving the puck, going post to post, you're going to have to get a little bit out of position and floppy. Right, so I think that's all that was. At least I hope that's all that was, because he is a very big dude. If he gets his speed up to NHL level, he could turn into something that would be a very good pickup for the Sharks.
He went to the USHL and played for the Muskegon Lumberjacks after the Junior Sharks.
He's a lumberjack.
And then he went to the NAHL, Springfield Junior Blues, then BCHL, Wenatchee.
Yeah.
Then he went to the University of Denver. And he played with Krona for one season. They had one season where they were together. then an ECHL, AHL, kind of bouncing between. So
that's pretty cool that you journey. Get to you know play with Corona again.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
good that's stuff. Pretty sweet. I saw something, by the way, and we'll move on after this. I saw something where they were on like carts, yes. Push carts.
Yeah, that was Columbus game.
Yeah,
they I guess the practice facility was so far from the locker room that for all their goalie equipment they couldn't walk that far. So yeah. they had like it looked like the cart that you have in a hotel. Like a big old
thing. Like Home Depot or something, too. Yeah, yeah.
It has a big old thing for hangers, and they put them on there, and they sat on, and they wheeled them away for a long time.
He was having fun with it. He was using like it was a paddling down, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, it was good stuff. So good to see him having a good time. And again, mentally, for the two goaltenders to already have played with each other and know each other, maybe there's some competition there. I don't know. But, you know, obviously a more comfortable situation coming in. You have somebody that that you've already kind of played alongside of. For for some time at least, so that was pretty cool. Like that story. Anyway, moving on from that one, I guess the main takeaway is that the Sharks have a very slight lead in the Celebrini sweepstakes. Chicago has 43 points. The Sharks have 39 points. Now the Sharks do have a game in hand. Like they could have one more game to play.
Yep.
To be equal with Chicago. But I don't want to call this a commanding lead.
But one of those games is against Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another game coming up is against Chicago. But there's another game they just have to play to be equal with them. Yeah. You know. So I think right now the Sharks are looking pretty good in terms of being able to stay underneath. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of those stats and whatnot that might help keep them underneath. But yeah, I guess my point here was just kind of we're
winning something.
Yeah, we're winning where we want to be winning this season. So looking okay so far.
I'm still nervous that they're just not going to get it. they're going to go in first overall, and someone's going to win the lottery, and they're not going to get it. And they're going to get bumped to second or even third.
So I'll bring up some of the other stats and stuff because we're going to talk about Chicago during the upcoming game. So I'll bring up some of those stats a little bit later on. So we'll pass it up. But we talked a little about Klim Kostin already. I don't know if you want to bring anything else up about him. But yeah, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points in 5 games. Pretty solid showing for the young freight train that he is. Glad to have him. Glad to have him on the team. It looks like he's having a good time here. Again, he wanted the trade. He requested the trade. He got it. And it looks like it's made him happy. Sometimes, you know, we always say this, sometimes they just need to change the scenery. Maybe that's all he needed because he seems happier playing in teal on the worst team in the league than playing for Detroit. So good on him. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. He's good. Good dude.
Another one of those times where I said the right thing and I just left Aaron speechless. Right.
Yeah.
one thing that we did, it's kind of a downer. And we almost didn't want to talk about it, but we're going to anyway because we have another hour and a half of the show to go. is that Ozzy Weisblatt was loaned to the Milwaukee Admirals. Now, this is a guy who was a first-round pick for the San Jose Sharks back in 2020. He's had pretty much no NHL experience, right? Has he had even a game? I can't even remember a game.
I don't think he's been called up yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I hate to use the word bust, but is that what we're looking at right now?
No, I'm looking at this as the Barracuda are not going to make playoffs.
Okay.
And the team that they got traded to, or loaned to, sorry, Milwaukee, is leading. And so they needed some players to boost up their playoff team. So he's going to be getting playoff experience, which he wouldn't be getting with the Sharks or the Barracuda. So I don't think it's necessarily a negative thing. It's still kind of a positive thing because he is going to be playing more hockey than he would be if he were to stay at the Barracuda level. I don't want to call him a bust because people said that the Sharks were already reaching for him and it was like a 31st overall pick in the first round. I mean, a couple years ago, that's a second round pick. I just consider those picks second round picks. Like the nomenclature of first round kind of adds some stuff to it. So I think it puts a little more pressure on those guys. It does suck that he hasn't played in the NHL, and to not be good enough to make the Sharks team is not a good sign. So, I don't know. It's also one of the last picks that the old regime made in the draft. And I believe the second round pick was what's his name? I'll blank on his name. Bortolo.
Oh, in the same draft.
Yeah. And you could have swapped those two.
And it would have looked better.
Right. Yeah. They would have said, oh, wow, you reached for Bortolo, but at least he's scoring and he's got some NHL experience, right? So who cares? Flip those two and then whatever. So it's kind of disappointing because you'd want those first-round draft picks. I mean, they have such a higher percentage chance of making the NHL, but sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we almost didn't even want to bring it up because it's a bit of a downer, you know, and we wish him all the best, of course. It's kind of strange, though. You could just loan a player to a different team like that.
I know. The AHL has some weird rules because certain teams, you know, have – obviously, they have the rights to all the players.
Yeah.
But there's some NHL teams, like I think it's Carolina, that doesn't have an affiliate right now. Like, there's a team that doesn't have an AHL team.
The Charlotte Checkers, I thought, was Carolina. But, yeah, maybe there's
a team that's on the East Coast that doesn't even have a team. So their players are kind of, like, all over.
Yeah.
That's just kind of weird. Like, you're not in one spot or on one team or playing together.
Strange.
Yeah.
Well, in any case.
It's a weird thing. It's weird.
So we'll go ahead and roll off to... Oh, roll to the roll call question, I guess. So, it was just an interesting thing that I saw. Now I wouldn't recommend that you go to the Facebook group because there's generally a lot of toxicity there.
But I've been a couple times recently and I'm just like, I gotta get out of here. It's so bad.
To be fair, there are some people on there that are, you know, super chill, but there are a lot of people there who just wanna complain and like I get it, they're horrible, and that's the place that you would go to complain, right? You go to your message board or whatever, right?
I noticed a lot of those fans are Raiders fans. And they have the Al Davis mindset of if you're not winning, you're nothing.
Yeah.
Like you just win a Super Bowl or there's no point in being second place or anything.
Right.
Which is obviously the Sharks are awful because they've never won a Stanley Cup.
So in looking at this group briefly, there was actually a question there that I thought was fairly interesting. And the question was what we're going to throw in the roll call. So roll call is what city are you watching us from? And who would you pick to be the captain next season, assuming Logan Couture either isn't the captain or is no longer capable of playing the game?
Because they were saying if he retired, right?
Yes,
because he couldn't play anymore.
Yeah. So, there you go, right there. Roll call. What city are you watching from, and who are you picking to be captain? So, for next season, the premise was if Logan Couture couldn't be the captain.
Right.
For whatever reason, right? Whether he was just like, you know, trading the offseason or he injured, just can't play anymore.
He's on long-term IR for the whole season.
Exactly, long-term IR. Or if they're just like, you know what, we realize we don't really want you as a captain, but please stay on the team. It doesn't matter. if you are picking a new captain for the Sharks, just put it that way. Okay, if you're picking a new captain for the Sharks, who would you pick? Now, in the Facebook group, the overwhelming majority was Ferraro, which... I'm not at all opposed to. I like Mario Ferraro. I think he's a great leader on this team. He's a great leader for sure. Mm-hmm. And he certainly plays the game the way that you want other players on the bench to emulate, right? You want them working as hard as he does. You want them skating as aggressively as he does, battling as much as he does, playing the minutes that he plays. I mean, this guy does it all for this team. So for this roster... 100%. I would back Mario Ferraro being a captain. I did have a different thought, and I'm sure the majority of you guys already know where I'm going to go with this. For me, Nico Sturm would be the perfect captain because he's got a little bit of age to him, not a lot, a little bit of age to him. He's won a Stanley Cup. He knows what it takes. He's been there with other guys, younger, older, when they go through the playoffs and make that push. And frankly, you can just see it in the media as well. He never shies away from a question. He's always front and center. And he always says exactly how it is. He never sugarcoats it, right? So for me, I think he's also very well respected on and off the ice mm-hmm. by the team and by management group as well. Now, the other thing to take note of for Sturm here is that at the trade deadline, he said something about that he figures into. He had a talk with Greer in the group, and he figures into their plan, into their future plan. Now, at the time, I thought that could mean, well, if he figures into their future plans, that would be him getting traded and getting something back for their future plans. It doesn't mean anything. But the fact that they didn't trade him means that what he meant was, yeah, I'm going to be here for a little bit, for a minute. Now, I don't know if that's just until his contract runs out or if they're going to have him extended and he's going to be a part of this group going forward. I tell you right now, if they give him a 2-3-4 year extension, whatever it is, I would not at all be surprised to see him with the C on his jersey, or at least the egg going forward, for sure. So that would be my pick, Nico Sturm. Now, you actually went into a different direction, and I don't disagree with you either.
Yeah, I think Granlund, to me, would be the captain, and it makes sense timing-wise because he's got one more year, just like Sturm does. He's got one more season.
Yeah.
Before his contract is going to be up, and it's a transition year of the young guys that are going to be coming up and the older guys that are going to get traded away after next season or during next season, during the trade deadline. You have Granlund as the captain. He's the leader, and then you could trade him at the end of next season at the deadline, don't have a captain, and then the following season, so in two more seasons, you have a new captain with one of the younger guys, possibly Will Smith. Possibly someone else that's up and coming.
Celebrini.
Maybe Celebrini. Maybe, you know, who knows? But to me, the timing-wise, that's better than... And I don't think Sturm is going to be long-term plans with the Sharks. I think what he meant was he's not getting traded this deadline. He's not getting traded over the summer. I think part of that is some teams just don't want him because his contract is at $2 million for a fourth-line center on a good team.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit too much. So maybe at the deadline next season when his contract is at the end. But I don't see him, and I like him, I don't see him being in long-term plans. I mean, just look at, we talked about this last week. The centers are going to be locked up for the foreseeable future with who knows if Celebrini or not. But right now, Will Smith, possibly Eklund. Then you have Bisted, and you have, who's the other one? The fourth one. That we had.
There's a fourth one.
There's a fourth one. Oh, man, I'm blanking here.
So basically what you're saying is you don't think he's going to be on the team because the Sharks are going to have enough center depth going forward in years to come.
Yes.
Okay. Let's not forget that we just got done talking about Ozzie Weisblatt, who was a first-round draft pick, didn't pan out. So any of these guys could not pan out. Also, the Sharks have... A history, now it may not be Greer's history, obviously, but they do have a history of drafting centers and putting them on the wing. So certainly any of these guys, like, for instance, Eklund, right? He was a center. I like him better on the wing. Is that the fourth guy you're talking about?
Borlo was the other center.
Oh, okay. I wasn't even counting him as a center. He's been playing the wing, hasn't he?
I thought he was playing center for a little bit, but that's right.
He'll play the wing, trust me.
Yeah.
If he gets an NHL slot, he'll play the wing. Yeah. He'll play defense.
Right.
He doesn't care, right? So Bisted is meh, somebody just said.
Well, Bisted is meh. He's not gonna be a top six guy. He's gonna be a bottom six guy.
Okay.
He's gonna be a big third, maybe fourth line center. Solid guy.
I know who you're talking about. There was a trade that we just made for that center. It's the Swedish guy. SHL. Something Strom. Strom. Dang it. Edstrom. I forget his name. Edstrom. Thank
that's
you.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Edstrom. That's the other guy. Now, again,
I knew it.
Plays in the SHL.
Right.
Looks pretty promising. Is an 18-year-old playing against grown men.
A promising third-line center.
Exactly.
Then Bisted would be your fourth-line center.
If Bisted pans out, and if they all pan out at the same time, they may not, in which case, again, I think Sturm.
But it'll take time. It'll take a few years, but I just don't think Sturm wouldn't be signing a 3 or 4 year deal. Someone said, give him the old 8x8.
I don't think so, no. But so, again, for me, if you look at when Sturm won a cup, he played alongside a whole bunch of young guys, a young McKinnon, a young Landeskog, a young Rantanen. Makar had just come
Sturm
in.
Sturm was also young at the time.
Absolutely, but I think he can see, oh, this is where this is going. I wouldn't mind sticking around.
Here's an interesting one. If Duclair comes back, I could see him getting the captaincy.
Duclair?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but interesting, throwing it out there.
I don't think a guy that played with us for, you know, a hot minute and then gets traded away and then comes back and resigns is like captaincy, but that's just me. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. To me, Granlund's already the pseudo-captain. He's already an alternate captain.
Yeah.
Right now, according to this, it's Ferraro, was Hurdle, Cunnan, Granlund. With Couture being the center, or center, captain.
It's a tragedy that Nico Sturm's name is not on that list. That is absolutely bonkers to me. He does everything that you want leader to do.
You don't have to have a letter to be a leader.
No, absolutely. And he proves that, but it's just bonkers to me that the Sharks brass wouldn't recognize that, and the players, I guess, that they wouldn't recognize that because he is everything that you want.
Like, everything you said, I agree with.
Yeah.
I also think Granlund also talks to the press a lot and sure. says all yeah. the right things yeah. and is a leader. I think he does everything that Sturm does, but also is on the ice more because mm-hmm. he's trusted in more situations, more of a scorer than Sturm
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets more ice time, which you kind of want your captain anyway to be not necessarily your best player, mm-hmm. but a guy who's going to be out there a lot because you're out there talking to the referees a lot.
Well, you're supposed to be modeling how you play the game to everybody. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. Okay, good. Some good replies there, guys. Thank you so much for participating in that one. That was good. I like the beast that is meh. My goodness.
I would take him as a fourth line center.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some skill mixed in with a lot of size and speed for that size. So
it could be very interesting seeing the Sharks moving forward with the size that they're going to have. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys that are pretty big dudes that are on this roster now.
Matt Greer has really reworked
oh yeah
the prospects, everything, and the vision of what the Sharks are going to be in the future.
And I know a lot of people are just like, yeah, he hasn't done anything because the Sharks still suck. We need to move on from the GM. It's like, it's a process. It's going to take a few years.
He's still mixing the ingredients. He's baking it in the oven right now. He's got to wait.
These fans are bigger basketball fans, and they think that if you just get one guy, yes. that it changes the whole team, and it doesn't really work that way.
Look at Chicago.
Look at Chicago. Look at Edmonton.
Yeah. Look right? at Buffalo.
Thank you. Right? So
perpetual rebuild.
It takes time for these players to fully mature, fully bake. And really have an impact on the team. And it's not just one player is going to do the job. You need to have depth up and down the lineup. And the Sharks are building that with the youth that they have. And once they all kind of come to fruition, right, and they all kind of are able to really come into their own and make a big difference on the team all at once, I think we're going to be a very competitive team for many years to come. So, again, if you're not a Sharks fan, you need to get in now so nobody calls you a bandwagon fan.
It's true.
And if you're not subscribed, by the way, you should be because we'll be talking about them all through the years of them being this bad and the years of where they turned it back around.
I have nothing wrong with bandwagon fans. I have nothing wrong with them. Okay. People get so upset about bandwagon fans. I like bandwagon fans. That means you're good. That's what it means.
Okay.
Nobody bandwagons on bad teams, even though we're telling you to right now. It's, you know what I mean? Like, the bandwagon means you're popular, you're it, you're yeah. awesome because your team is great and yeah. everyone wants to have a winner. So all the bandwagoners, welcome aboard. Please come on and make it a fun time.
Sure.
I don't need to prove my fandom to anybody. I don't think anybody needs to prove their fandom. If they like the team, they like the team. If they don't, they don't. And if you like Vegas, get out of here.
Yeah, we will agree on that for sure. Okay, moving on. Upcoming games, Aaron. Now, again, we're going to come back to some of these stats, and we're here now. So the upcoming games, before we get into them, the question really is, how are we looking with regard to those 20 wins? Because remember, it was all about the points. Now we're just talking about wins.
I thought we were going to get one this week.
Yeah.
And we looked close in a couple games, and we didn't get one. Had we gotten one this week, I would have been more confident at 17 wins, getting three more between now and the end of the season. Now, to get four wins in 15 games, they're still kind of on pace for that. Not quite. Just under it. So there's a chance. Are you counting regulation wins, or do shootout wins count?
I don't care if it's a W. If it counts as a W, they get 2 points out of it, it's a win, right? So just 20 wins. Any which way you can get a win, I'm counting it.
All right, I'm going to say they do it.
They do it.
They're getting to 20.
I don't know, man. I mean, so can they get three wins? Yeah, I think they could get three. I don't know, that fourth win?
Are they going to pull what's his name? Noah Gregor and fall short in the very last game of the season by one? You're going to get to 19 wins.
I mean, it's again, for me, it's not impossible, but just looking at the way this team collapses. Now, because remember before, we talked about, what was it, the 68 points, right?
Yeah.
And the under on 68 points is looking like the safest bet that you could have ever made. If this was something in Vegas that you could have bet on, you should have bet the farm that they were not going to hit 68 points.
When I said they would, I thought Logan Couture was coming back in a week. In the beginning of the season, had Logan Couture been in the lineup with Hurdle for most of the time, when they were in the lineup, they were a decent team. They were a decent team.
A decent team that was losing.
Well, no, they were winning. They were stringing wins together. That was the last time they had their three-game win streak. So it was doable. Not healthy, not taking out every superstar that you have, or not even superstar, all-star you have off your team. Forget it. Forget it.
So
didn't have a chance.
So I'll pose the question again with a little bit of confidence, maybe. You're saying they're going to get to 20. They're going to get to 20 wins.
With confidence?
You're saying it with confidence. No. See, and you said, now, okay, again, we play the Blackhawks later on, and we'll get to them in a second. The one thing I wanted to bring up, though, which was an amazing stat, by the way, they are a minus 122 in the goal differential column. Minus 122.
Well, they had two double-digit games.
That is still unfathomably large. That is humongous.
Yeah.
Now, to put that in perspective, and this is a really weird one, the Senators in the Atlantic are last in that division, are minus 22 on the goal differential.
I would look at Montreal.
Montreal's minus 50, right?
Right. They're better to look at because for a while, and I'm looking at it now, they now have, is that right, 15 regulation wins. For a while, the Sharks had more regulation wins than Montreal. Now they don't. But by three. The Sharks have 12, and Montreal only has 15 regulation wins. Chicago, for reference, has 14. So they're right in between.
Yeah.
But still, like, that's not a lot.
No.
To me, regulation wins is a good determination of a better team or not.
Sure.
So, like, for instance, the Ottawa Senators have 19 regulation wins. Arizona has 23, but they're still behind Montreal in the standings.
Yeah.
That's a much different team. That's a lot of wins. And then they also have a lot of losses, but they're just not going to overtime like Montreal is.
Regardless, it was crazy to me that another team that's last in their division has 100 more in the goal differential column than the Sharks do.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. That is a lot. So anyway, are they going to make it to 20 wins? I'm going to go with... probably not. They're definitely, for me, if you were to say over 20 wins, I would say no. 20 is doable. I just don't know. I feel like they're not going to do it. I feel like they're just going to keep doing what they've been doing, which is look decent in the first half of the game and then collapse under the weight of another team that just has more veterans who have played in the NHL for a longer period of time, who aren't going to make as many mistakes that the Blue Liners are making, who won't be as floppy as maybe the Sharks' goaltending has been. I'm not putting a whole lot on the Sharks' goalies, by the way. I mean, some of them are just weird bounces and stuff.
Yeah. Blackwood, though, is going to be coming back soon. I don't have as much faith in Crona and Cooley getting four wins, but with Blackwood in there, he could steal a game or two there.
Does it even make sense to bring him back in?
Yeah.
I mean, give him a couple games maybe, but
he's a reclamation project, and he has to get those numbers back up and feel good about himself going into next season. It's not so much that he needs to win or really play really well, but he's kind of proving to himself and the league that he can stay healthy because he has not been able to stay healthy over his entire career.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen on Tuesday, tomorrow night, but they do play against Nashville in Nashville, and they play against Tampa Bay Lightning at home on Thursday. And then the big game, the four-point swing, this one happening in San Jose against the mighty Chicago Blackhawks.
The slightly bigger,
second from the worst,
Chicago
buddy.
Blackhawks.
Yeah. So this is Celebrini Bowl Part 3 is what I'm calling it. Brian Carr, by the way, says he can't see them getting to 20 wins. So there you go.
Do you think they'll go minus 150 or more?
Oh, that's a good one. I like. Yes. I think they're gonna go 150. Oof. Yeah. I think they'll hit 150. Yeah, minus 150, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I could see that, especially if they're getting in these close games where they give up more empty net goals.
Yeah. So with 15 games left? 16. 15 games left. They have to lose by, what, two in each of those games? And some of them are going to get blown out. They might get a win here or there, but I think it's not it's not out of the realm of possibility that they end up with the season like with a minus 150 in the goal differential category. I would love to see if there's any team in NHL history.
Oh, there's been some worse.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just checking. I don't know.
Don't forget the 80s. It's the 80s were a wild time, man.
Gretzky just murdered everyone. Yeah, this is historically bad, I think, for the Sharks. Like, even their first season or two. Yeah. This is historically bad. Anyway, again, Celebrini Bowl, part three. We've played them twice already. We have lost both times. January 16th was a 2-1 loss. And then yesterday, March 17th, for future reference, if you're watching this video in the future, a 5-2 loss. So this one coming up, can the Sharks make it a perfect 0-3?
Can they?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Will they make it a perfect 0-3?
To answer your question, you want to hear the worst seasons ever.
Yeah, go ahead, fire away.
The worst ever, Washington Capitals in 1974-75, a minus 265.
Oh, jeez.
So you thought the Sharks were bad.
That's more than twice as bad. Well, the season's not over yet.
Right. There's potential.
We could claw our way into those record books,
That was too. In 80 games. Two less games.
They could all just take a knee. And just
the San Jose Sharks are tied for second with the 92-93 Sharks at 196. Tied with Ottawa. The following season also had 196, minus 196. So, yes, the Sharks are on this list, and they're on this list again, the 91-92, the inaugural season, for minus 140. So they could potentially pass their inaugural season.
It's just something to look forward to this season, history.
So great.
History.
The Anaheim Ducks is that the only team in the 2000s?
Minus 129?
Minus 129. That was last season. Wasn't it? 22-23. Yeah.
We'll beat them.
And then the Atlanta Thrashers, Hotlanta. That looks like their first season, 99-2000, were minus 143.
The Atlanta Thrashers.
Here we go. Of note, the Golden Seals, minus 147. Do you think we can beat the Golden Seals?
Yes. I'm saying minus 150. So, yes. We're going to climb our way up that list. Okay. The other thing of note in this game against Chicago. Again, it is in San Jose, and it is a giveaway night. Now, they're doing something interesting, and I hope that I get a chance to go get one. Cricket jersey giveaway. Have you seen these?
I have. It looks pretty... I've seen... They only have the mock-up. They don't have the actual jersey, but I think it looks pretty cool. To me, it looks like a cool shark or a soccer jersey in a way.
Oh, okay.
Like it looks. Have you seen it?
I have seen it, yeah.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't know if it to compare it to a soccer jersey if it would or wouldn't look the same, but anyway,
it looks like it's got a collar on it, like old school soccer jerseys had collars on
them. I gotcha.
Yeah, so it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, no, from the mock-up that Aaron's showing on the screen over here, and from the mock-up it does look pretty nice, and I would certainly love to get one. I don't know a thing about cricket.
Me neither.
But I like free apparel
other than the wickets and the ball. And yeah.
See, you know more than I do. You said wickets. I know there's a ball. I don't know anything about wickets.
There's like three sticks, and the pitcher's trying to knock them down, and the other person's trying to block it so you don't knock them down.
Yeah, the only wicket I know is a Star Wars reference, Ewoks. Oh, geez. So, sorry. That's a whole other show we should do.
You need to expand your mind.
No, man. Star Wars is solid. Star Wars, Sharks, and Lego. Let's go. Anyway, the Sharks, again, we play Nashville, Tampa Bay, and Chicago. Aaron, are you looking at any of these games going, we're picking up a W?
Chicago's the only one, really,
that
I can think of. I mean, that was a close game this week.
I think they've proven that they cannot beat Chicago.
Well, they didn't get blown out by Chicago.
Fair enough, but we're 0-2 out of the two games we played so far.
I think the Tampa Bay game might be a blowout. and that's a home game, too. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're a Tampa Bay fan, which my cousin Corey is, he's going to love that game.
So if you go,
he's going to be there, too.
If you go to the game, the Tampa Bay game, I would buy the tickets for the Chicago game so that you can sit through that massacre and then get the jersey the next game that they play, get something for your fandom. That would be my strategy.
That'd be smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, any other comments, by the way? I know we've only reached the comments like three times. So I just want to give people a chance to kind of be heard.
Well, that was one of them, was did the Sharks get to 150 or beyond? Oh. Zephyr from Camino said, sorry I'm late, y'all. St. Pat's Day game would have been more exciting if they were competing for the first overall pick. I still like that idea. That's he's talking about the yeah. gold method or gold. What is it?
Once you're eliminated, you play for the best record yeah. to try to win, which again to me is crazy because if you're that bad of a team,
it's a whole
you're probably not going to win.
It's a whole different set of standings. But again, yeah. the team that's losing, like let's the Sharks roster right now.
Yeah.
How many of those guys are even going to be here next season? There's a lot of UFAs, so they're yeah. it's not they're not playing to help get the Sharks get a better pick. They're playing in the NHL because that's their job
yeah.
is to play in the NHL, and they want to stick in the NHL, and they're playing for their next contract for next season, not so much with the Sharks, just in general. So,
well, Peter St. John says, we're going to pick up a waived Noah Gregor, and he will carry us to a win over the Canucks.
Oh, can you imagine if they get him? You will be the first one at that game with a jersey, ready to get it signed. Waiting outside, holding it with a pen, holding the jersey, here's a pen. Noah, can I get your autograph?
Noah, the head of your fan club, what's your signature?
I won the bet.
Oh my god, club of one. Okay. Anything else in the comments there? No? We're good?
No.
Alright. Alright, well, I mean, I think that's the end of the show, unless there's anything else you want to bring up, but I think we're good.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep the... Are we about an hour? We're about an hour. We did a good job.
Did we?
I don't know. I'm going to say that we did a good job, whether we did or we didn't. But...
Sure.
In celebration of us doing a good job, you could go and support the show by going to thefinfactor.com, picking up a hat, shirt, hoodie, sweatshirts, custom shoelaces. We don't have that. But you could check and see if we do or don't, and then you can find something else that you might like. So there you go. Also, there you go. Thank you so much, Super Jason. Also, if you'd like to support the show, you can do that with Super Chat function, or you can go Venmo at the Fin Factor. Anything you put in there, we'll go ahead and read it out on the show, or if you do it right now, we'll probably read it out on the next show. But your support will equally be appreciated by all three of us here. So thank you for that. Visit us. Follow us.
All the things.
Spotify. That was I was looking for Spotify. There you go. So okay, yeah, go ahead. Spotify them.
Find us on Spotify. Just type in the Fin Factor, and you'll find us on there if you enjoy listening to podcasts. And they also do video on there, so you can actually watch us if you care to see our faces and not just hear our lovely voices.
Lovely indeed. Super Dude Jason also just put up the don't forget to like and subscribe. Yeah, of course. We do this basically once a week. But sometimes it's on a Monday, sometimes on a Tuesday. If you subscribe to us, you won't need to try to figure that one out. It'll just tell you. So hit that notification bell if you haven't already, and it will let you guys know when we are going live. And again, the best thing that you can do is share this out to your Sharks friends and family. It helps get more people in here to have those fun conversations. And it's certainly what we like doing is the live shows. So the more people in here talking it up, the better it is for you and for us. So there you go. Anything else? Last thing? No? Good? Okay, that's going to do it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. For Super Producer Jason, I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And we will see you guys
next week.
Next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Fin Factor and on Instagram at Fin Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.